sometimes controversial, always politically incorrect, and pro-life without exception, without compromise, and without apology. It's the Pro-Life America Podcast with your hosts, Sarah Waits, and the president of Life Dynamics, Mark Crutcher.
Hello, I'm Mark Crutcher, and I want to welcome you to the Pro-Life America Podcast. And as you heard, I'm joined by my comical sidekick, isn't that the most common reference we use?
Lovely co-host, yeah. Sarah Waits.
Oh, yeah, real lovely.
That's good. That's what you're supposed to say. You just nod your head and go along with it.
Yeah, you just go along with it.
You're married. You should know this.
Yeah, I learned that many, many years ago.
Happy wife, happy life, right?
Right. That's one of the things you learned as I approach our 50th wedding anniversary come June 24th, that you're better off just going along. Just go along to get along. You know what I mean? Just you have to learn that trick. A couple of days ago, Sarah, CBS News produced a piece which they titled "Experts Sound the Alarm on Declining Birth Rates Among Younger Generations." And they called it a crisis.
Yeah, well, this is something that's kind of been boiling for a while. Before we get into more points in the article, The Guardian reports that between 1964 and 2018, the global fertility rate, which is the number of children per woman, has fallen from 5.6 births per woman to 2.4. Now, this is globally.
Right.
Approximately half of the world's countries have fertility rates below 2.1.
Which is the replacement level. Right.
And according to the San Francisco Gate, with few exceptions, birth rates across the 27-member European Union have been declining steadily for decades, with Slovenia at the bottom with 1.31 births per woman of childbearing age. And this is affecting even countries like Brazil and Iran.
And it's a major problem. And now you have countries that were pushing this birth control or population control agenda for decades are now having to pay women to have babies.
Yeah, like in Australia, you can get a baby bonus, which is a payment of about $6,000 over the baby's first year. Now, their birth rate is 1.5, just to give you an example.
Ours is now less than 2.
Yeah, ours is, I think, 1.7. Italy's is 1.3. They're offering one-time payment of $1,500 per child. Japan, theirs is 1.4. And they have started implementing a regional allowance scheme. And, of course, it depends on the area that you live in. But in one town, parents are paid up to 100,000 yen, which is about $940, for their first child. But by the fourth child, they could be paid up to 1 million yen, which is about $9,400.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've always known that this issue of pushing abortion is part of this population control agenda.
Yeah.
And I can remember back in the 1960s and early 70s when these population control fanatics were pushing this agenda and saying, well, for example, the worst one was a guy named Paul Ehrlich, and he wrote the book, The Population Bomb. And he wrote that in 1968. In there he says, quote, "Sometime in the next 15 years, the end will come. And by the end, I mean an utter breakdown of the capacity of the planet to support humanity." He said that.
Didn't he say that it was supposed to happen by now?
It's 15 years, and this was in 1968.
Yeah, so,
so if my math doesn't fail me, that'd be 1983.
And yet...
Here we are.
Here we are.
And the most amazing thing about this is these population control people will still refer to the population bomb as if it has credibility.
Yeah, as if it's etched on stone tablets somewhere.
And he's still some sort of guru among these people.
How can you be a guru if everything you have said has turned out to be totally wrong?
And now we've got nitwits in our government today. AOC springs to mind.
We have 12 years, according to AOC.
It's 11 now. She said that a year ago.
Yeah. Right.
These people are stark raving nuts.
Yeah.
I mean, they are out of their minds. And yet, like this guy Paul Ehrlich, they can get big followings. The Brookings Institution has done some research on this and says we have a, quote, "large and lasting baby bust." Now, COVID-19... was supposed to create a baby boom.
Yeah, because all those people locked at home.
Don't have anything else to do. 9 months later, we're going to have a bunch of babies. And see, this actually happened back in the 60s when New York had a blackout, all their electricity went out. Mm-hmm. And 9 months later, they did have a baby boom. So they're kind of modeling it on that.
Well, I'm assuming it didn't last about a year. It was probably just a few day blackout. A
couple of days, yeah.
And places like California have been in a lockdown for months.
So it should be much more profound. In the United States, in the 1950s, the average woman had four babies. Mm-hmm. Today, it's less than two.
Yeah.
So we're below replacement levels. Mm-hmm. And the Brookings Institute, what I was referring to a moment ago, was talking about this baby bust instead of the baby boom, mm-hmm. says that there are going to be, now listen to this, 300,000 fewer babies born in America in 2021.
In just 1 year.
Than in 2020. Mm-hmm. Our birth rate is going to drop by 300,000. These guys are all calling this a crisis, and they're right. And there are lots of ramifications to this. There are lots of economic ramifications to it.
Yeah, for one thing, people who support increase and expansion of welfare programs only work if you have a bigger population of younger, healthy people
that are working,
who are paying into the system, right, than people who are taking out. And if you look at the United States and a whole bunch of other countries, our population is aging. So that means you have far more people who are taking out of the system who are putting in. And the only way you resolve that is either cutting programs or raising taxes.
One of the people in this CBS News report is a professor at the University of Southern California. Dowell Myers is his name. And referring to the issue that you're bringing up here about people to work,
yeah,
and paying into these, he said, quote, "Nobody in the history of the globe has had so many older people to deal with," mm-hmm, unquote.
Yeah.
So they're looking at major economic downside to this.
All these countries that I mentioned before that are paying, they're struggling with the same thing. They've got an aging population, and they all talk about in each article that this is going to be a big economic problem in the next couple of years when they're just looking at the statistics. And while we have embraced abortion, China has embraced the one-child policy.
Forced abortion.
And even to the point of forced abortion and forced sterilizations. Mm-hmm. And their 2018 birth rate was at the lowest since the founding of the People's Republic in 49. And their birth rate's about 1.7. So they're about on par with us at the moment. But it says that it is estimated that by 2050, as much as one-third of the country's population will be made up of people over the age of 60. They have talked about loosening restrictions on family sizes and doing all sorts of programs. But the difference with China is that they have been very controlling about stuff. So the one-child policy, forced sterilizations, forced abortions. When you have a country then that's saying, don't have children, now saying you will have children, mm-hmm, there are people in that country who are concerned about the other end of the spectrum, forced births and such. And right, the People's Daily says, the birth of a baby is not only a matter of the family itself, but also a state affair.
Yeah. You have people right here in the United States saying exactly the same thing. There are people in the United States who are reluctant to come out and just say it. But if you back them into a corner and force them to, they will tell you that a baby is the property of the state, mm, not a property of the parents. Mm. And some of these people have even suggested that when a baby is born, it ought to become a ward of the state, and then the parent attempts to adopt their own child and demonstrate.
That sounds like Margaret Sanger's idea of you must have a license to be a mother.
It's exactly the same thing. But this has so many ramifications to it and so many avenues that it can go down that are really scary.
Yeah.
But one of the things we're already seeing, and you know, I've written about this extensively and I've talked about it a lot before, this is what's driving the immigration battle in America. Mm-hmm. It's tempting for people to look at the Nancy Pelosi's and the Schumer and Biden and Kamala Harris and say, what is their deal? Why are they so radical on this idea of immigration to the point that they're literally saying we should not have national borders? Just let, mm-hmm, anybody who wants to show up at the border and come in, let them in.
Yeah, there are a number of Bernie supporters who are all about open borders, yeah.
And what we're seeing right here in Texas right now, just since Biden's been president, mm-hmm, we have now seen a complete reversal of what was
happening at the border from when
Trump was there.
Yeah.
And now we have an absolute crisis. Mm-hmm. 4,000 to 5,000 people a day showing up. 6 to 9% now they're estimating have coronavirus. Mm-hmm. They're letting these people in, and putting them out into the public.
Well, and there's another thing about uncontrolled immigration that people often forget about is that if you grow up in the United States, you're required or you're encouraged, depending on the vaccine, to get vaccines to prevent the spread or the reemergence of long docile diseases and illnesses in the United States. People from other countries don't necessarily have the same requirements or healthcare system that encourages that. So you're actually having some illnesses in the United States pop up that have been gone for a long time.
Well, polio is a good example of that.
Yeah.
And polio is a horrible thing for people who don't realize it.
Mm-hmm.
I would encourage them to go on to the internet and look at some of the pictures you can see of these wards where they had the iron lungs.
Yeah.
That people had to live in iron lungs. Now, my mother had polio. Now, she was a low-level case of it. It was not to the degree that she had to live in an iron lung, but it did affect her life in some ways. And polio, because of the salt vaccine, was basically wiped out in America. There was no polio. Now it's making a comeback.
I don't think people get polio vaccines now unless you request them because of the...
Well, you don't need it if it's totally wiped out.
Yeah.
But anyway, people look at people like Harris and Biden and Pelosi and all these other godless leftists, and they say, what is their deal with immigration? Why are they so hot about this? Now, you have this argument or debate within America as to whether illegal immigrants coming to the United States are taking jobs away from Americans. And you have some people that say, yes, they do. And some people that say, no, they don't. They're just taking jobs that no Americans want anyway, lower-end jobs. The reality is, no matter which side you come down on that particular argument, set that aside for a moment.
Yeah.
The bigger issue is that they're taking jobs of Americans who do not exist because 62 million of them have been butchered in the womb.
Yeah.
And so if you look at our country, over the last 50 years, we've lost population if you take immigration out of the mix.
Yeah, our birth rate's at 1.7, and the only reason why we're doing better than a lot of other countries is because of immigration. That's it.
These people are coming in, filling the jobs that would have been filled by people who are instead murdered in the womb. That's why you see these hardcore, pro-abort, Marxist, godless, communist, leftist, like that group I just talked about, Schumer and Pelosi and Biden and Harris and the rest of them. That's why you see them. They're never going to admit this. But what they understand is, if it weren't for these people coming in and filling those jobs, pretty soon the economy would start to collapse, and economics would suggest that the reason is the dwindling birth rate. Mm-hmm. We don't have enough people to take these jobs. And suddenly, the American people are going to see the damage that's been wrought on our economy by abortion. Forget the morality of it if you want to, but what it's done to our economy is amazing. And these people realize
the ripple effect.
Yeah, and that the American people's eyes would be opened to what legalized abortion has done. So what you do is you bring all these illegals in as a way to mask that problem. You cover it up by having them take all these jobs.
Well, from an economic status, I mean, yeah, they're taking jobs, but I would argue that the problem is only fixed more if they become actual citizens, because then they may be paying taxes and they're not just pulling from government programs, but they're actually putting in.
Well, there's a problem with that theory. I know that sounds good on the surface. But what you have to understand right now, for example, if someone that's in the country illegally and they work more or less under the radar, most of them still get paid with checks. They don't get cash. Most people think that these illegal immigrants work under the radar and they just get paid in cash and nobody knows they exist. That's not true. Most companies have to account for all their money and they're going to write checks to these people. And that means they take Social Security out of their check, right? And they have to. By law, they have to. But those people that they're whose check they're taking that money out of are illegal and can never recover that money. They can't get on Social Security. So in effect, what happens is that money that's taken out of someone's check who's illegal is lost to them forever. It goes into the general fund.
Well, if they have a Social Security number that they've
used. Most of them, the vast majority of illegals working in this country work on fake Social Security numbers. And so that money's put into that account, but it can never be taken out of it. And matter of fact, the IRS even has a name for that account. It's called the earnings suspense file. And that money is never taken out. So it sits there to be used. And the more illegal immigrants you have, the bigger that fund gets.
So basically, it's a piggy bank. So there's a financial incentive to politicians to keeping people who are here illegally of an illegal status as opposed to making them citizens.
Absolutely. They don't want them to be citizens. They can talk
because
about...
Because then they can draw on those programs.
Then they can go back and get their Social Security and so forth.
Well, there are a number of programs, depending on the state, that will actually allow people who are here illegally to pull money from programs. It's not necessarily Social Security, but each state is a little bit different.
Yeah, but here's what you have to understand when you follow the money trail.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, these people take resources out of the country.
Mm-hmm.
They're disproportionately represented in prisons, for example. We pay money into the prison system, mm-hmm. so we're paying to house illegal aliens.
Education is a big one, too.
But here's what, yeah, education is a really big one. Sometimes they're getting health care benefits. But mm-hmm. here's what you have to understand about that. The money that they take out of the system because they're illegal mm-hmm. and don't pay into those programs, that money comes from state budgets. But the money that's not paid back to them from Social Security goes into the federal budget.
So basically, the states are eating the cost while the federal government reaps the benefits of it.
So basically what this is, it's a transfer of money mm-hmm. from the states to the federal government.
Mm-hmm.
And the horrible thing about this is the federal government is the one that sets up immigration policy.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got a vested interest in it staying like it is.
Mm-hmm.
But the states pay almost all of the money the illegal aliens cost. So even if the illegal aliens theoretically might, some people might say they bring more into the economy than what they cost. Yeah, but all what they bring in goes to the feds and all that they cost goes to the states.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a transfer from the states to the feds. And people aren't looking at that. People aren't paying attention to that issue.
So basically it's a hidden tax.
it's a tax. And let's just use Mexican workers for an example, because, for example, here in Texas, that's what we have most of.
Mm-hmm.
And let's make something very clear here. If you want to see the states where this is most important, look at the border states, Texas
yeah.
and California, for example. Look at those two.
Mm-hmm.
They have the biggest economies of all the states that are near Mexico. I'm of the opinion that the Texas economy would collapse overnight. If you rounded up all the illegals that are in Texas and said, we're putting you on buses and you're going back to Mexico, the Texas economy would collapse overnight. And I suspect the same is true for California. I assure you it's true for Texas, because we don't have the workers to fill those jobs. Even with them here, construction in Texas is booming because mm-hmm. of the population.
Mm-hmm.
And there was an article in the Dallas Morning News probably a year ago now, saying that there are 10,000 construction jobs unfilled in Dallas County alone. That construction is being held up because they don't have enough people.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think part of our job crisis is the fact that my generation and Gen Z and all these other generations have been encouraged to go to college in order to get other degrees. Well, you have a whole bunch of people who are competing for a limited number of fields while ignoring fields like construction or plumbing or welding, which can pay really well right out of the gate.
Right.
You know what I mean? Without incurring $30,000, $60,000, $120,000 worth of debt.
Yeah, that's right. You know, this guy, Mike Rowe, has mm-hmm. got an organization he started trying to get people to understand that. And he's exactly right. You know, I heard him not long ago on television talking about how someone did a research and on the typical college graduate,
mm-hmm.
what they make in the first 3 years that they're out of college.
Mm-hmm.
They don't make the average that a plumber makes during those same 3 years.
I'm going to plumbing school.
And there's all kinds of jobs like that that are going begging. I saw an yeah. ad in the Dallas paper not long ago. They had a display ad. One of the larger Cadillac dealerships mm-hmm. was advertising for someone who's trained to do tune-ups on all these late model Cadillacs with computer systems in them.
Mm-hmm.
They were advertising in that article that you could make up to $200,000 a year if you could fulfill that job.
I'm going to go get training for that.
Tune up Cadillacs.
Bye, Mark.
Right, yeah. And I guarantee you there's very few college graduates
yeah.
that are making $200,000
a year. Oh, yeah. We have a high number of college graduates who are unemployed. Yeah. And, of course, there's certain fields where that's more prominent, especially the fields of, like, sociology,
right.
for example. You know,
make nothing.
Yeah. Stop studying feminist studies and go study plumbing.
Right. Yeah. Go out with a degree in feminist studies and see how many people are knocking down your door.
Give up on the underwater basket weaving degrees and go study plumbing.
Right.
Oh, get an electrician's license.
Whatever.
Do all that kind of stuff. You'll be more right. financially stable.
Yep. But all of this, again, goes back to what I've talked about many, many times.
Mm-hmm.
And that is abortion affects every aspect of American life.
Yeah.
And it's hidden under the veneer of it.
Well, and not just...
Right below the surface. And it always goes back to the same thing. Mm-hmm. There's no right way to do a wrong thing.
Yeah,
and when exactly. When you're endorsing abortion, not only does it destroy the moral fiber of your country, it has all of these practical ramifications as well. Even if you set the moral aspects aside, the philosophical aspect, mm-hmm. set those aside. Okay, what about these ramifications? Now, before we go, we're just about out of time here. I want to bring up something else I've talked about here before. When these people are talking about, as they have here, that nobody in the history of the globe has had so many older people to deal with. The problem that we've got, when these population control people started out mm-hmm. trying to destroy the population of America, they did it by going after the unborn. And so we've killed 62 million people. Mm-hmm. The population problems that we have are now worse than they were, right?
Yeah.
How long is it then, and we're already starting to see this, before they say, well, the problem isn't that we're having too many babies. Actually, we're having too few babies. The problem is...
Everyone's living too long.
Everybody's living too long. In 1900, the average age that an American born in 1900 lived was 44 years. By the end of the century...
It's like 79, isn't it?
It's 78 or 79 years. Mm-hmm. So that's another
30 years.
30 or 35 years
yeah.
added on to it. When Social Security was first envisioned, the age you got Social Security was 62 because by that point, that was about the average age that people lived. And what they wanted to do is to create a safety net for people who lived longer than the average. Mm-hmm. But the average was that you lived about 62 years. So they set up the rate at which you paid in mm-hmm. based on that. Now people are living 20 or 25, 30 years longer than that. Mm-hmm. And so they're on the Social Security system, not for months at a time, but for years, decades at a time.
And as we talked about before, with our population being heavily aged, that means you have a lot more people pulling on for a lot longer amount of time.
And you're already hearing people say things like, maybe the elderly have an obligation to die and move on. And now, you're having other countries, we're reading about this all the time, and this is coming here.
You would think that they would learn from abortion. The solution.
Death is not the solution to problems. But you have other countries now that are doing involuntary euthanasia of people after a certain age.
Yeah.
And we're already seeing that. And we're going to see it right here. I promise you, there's not been anything done on these life issues in other parts of the world that haven't eventually come to America.
And what has been done on previous generations will be done to us at some point.
Well, that's the point I want to get at. We now have a couple of generations of people that have killed their offspring because they were unhealthy, they were inconvenient, or...
Expensive.
They were too expensive, right? Mm-hmm. Now, the people in that generation that did not get killed mm-hmm. are now coming into political power. And the people that did the killing then for those three reasons are suddenly going to be unhealthy, expensive, and
inconvenient.
So... what we better be praying for from a philosophical standpoint, we better be praying that God was lying to us when he said, you reap what you sow. Because the generation that reaped abortion for convenience, economics, and health.
And taught that generation those values, right?
Right.
That if it's inconvenient or unhealthy or too expensive, gone.
You can nuke them.
Yeah.
Well, that generation now is taking power and they will be making decisions about that generation that used death, abortion.
As a solution.
As a solution to their social and economic problems.
Yeah.
And now they're a social and economic problem. Guess what?
Yeah.
And the problem as I see it is what I really would bet on is that God didn't lie to us. I don't recall any time in my 73 years or 73 in a few days here. I don't recall any time that I thought, hey, you know, God lied to me about that. Everything I've seen kind of suggests that he always told the truth. And so if that's true, then we're going to reap what we've sown. And
the same thing will happen to my generation.
Absolutely.
We'll wake up one day and realize we're no longer young.
Right. It creeps up on you. Believe me. I can tell you.
There used to be a lot of articles about how millennials are destroying everything. And now it's Gen Z.
Right.
And it's like, well, we're getting old.
Right.
We're getting uninteresting. We're becoming boring.
I remember... used to be a Dallas Cowboy player named Bob Hayes. Mm-hmm. They called him Bullet Bob Hayes. Mm-hmm. He was the fastest human on earth at that time. Mm-hmm. And he could run a deer. He would just leave in the dust. I mean, this guy was incredibly fast. And he made a statement years later after he had been retired and out of football. He said, I could outrun everything but time.
Yep.
You know, and so over time he slowed down, and pretty soon the Cowboys didn't need him anymore. And
well, I knew I was going to age, but I tell you, there's been times where I looked in the mirror and I saw like another thing happen. It's like, oh no.
Another gray hair.
Oh no, I've gotten a gray hair, and it's like those little tiny red spots that by the time you get old, you know, yep. get bigger. It's like, oh no.
Yeah. Like I said, it sneaks up on you. I sometimes look back and think, what the hell happened to my life?
Where did it go?
Where did it go? You know, it seemed like yesterday I was 30 and thinking, I've still got plenty of time to do anything I want to do.
Yeah.
And there comes a point in your life at which you look back and you think, I'm not doing anything now for the first time, but I'm doing a lot of things for the last time.
My mom told me, she said something to me that kind of stuck with me. She said, the older you get, the quicker time goes by.
Oh, it does. It does. And like I said, you start thinking about, that's probably the last time I'm going to do that, whatever it might be, you know.
Mm-hmm. So we don't end the show on kind of a sad or gloomy look. I do want to cover one thing that's going on. So Denmark is another one of those countries that's struggling with their population. They're like the United States. Their fertility rate is 1.7 children per woman. Their struggles with birth rate are so well known that the Danish education system is telling teachers to not just talk about like sex education, but they're talking about the benefits of pregnancy.
Right.
So that's another little thing that's interesting. There's a Danish dating site called Love and Kids that is only for singles interested in having children, especially in the near future. And there is the best one of all. A Danish travel agency called Spies, yes, you heard that right, Spies, is offering ovulation discounts because a study they found or said that 46% of Danes have more sex on the holidays. So they're like,
let's get them while they're hot.
So they have an ovulation discount, and their commercial for this, it is so hilarious. I'll put the link in the description. It has English subtitles, so you can read it. But the opening lines is, can sex save Denmark's future? It's a hilarious video. It's a little bit adult, though. So I'll tell you, don't everybody go click on it unless you feel like you're old enough for this. Right. But it's cheesy, but it's funny all at the same time.
You know, God probably looking at us and thinking, what a bunch of doofuses I put down there. I've tried to tell you guys for generations, babies are a blessing.
Yeah.
They're not a curse.
Yep.
They're a blessing personally. Mm-hmm. They're a blessing economically. Mm-hmm. They're a blessing socially.
And according to that Spies travel agency, do it for Denmark. That's the ending line of the video.
It's kind of like they're putting horses out to stud or something. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, goodness.
Anyway, yeah, these are just the cost of doing business when you're in the baby-killing world, which we are. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be prices to pay. We're already paying some of them. There'll be more coming. We've got to get out of this. We've got to stop doing this and fall on our knees and beg God to forgive us.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the only way we're going to avoid this reap what you sow philosophy. Anyway, that's all the time we have. You got anything else?
Just if you like the show, be sure to follow the show on one of your favorite platforms, such as Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio. The list goes on. You can find the list of where to subscribe at lifedynamics.com/podcast. Also, if you like the show, be sure to leave a review. We have a button on the page as well as each episode page that takes you to where you can leave a review. It helps people, you know, decide if they want to listen to the show. And it helps us know what you like, what you don't like about the show.
And tell all your friends.
Mm-hmm. And share this with your friends. And if you're feeling even more generous, give us a little donation there.
Yeah, we're in a bit of a pickle here as far as donations go. But we're still fighting along here. But
we'll see you next week.
We'll see you next week. Until next Thursday, remember, Life Dynamics is not here to put up a good fight.
Mm-mm, we're here to win.
Because winning is how the killing stops. We'll see you next week.
Bye, guys.